Well, over these past few weeks, we've been romping, it's kind of how it feels, through Mark, the Gospel of Mark. He doesn't waste a lot of time. He doesn't add a lot of extra description. He just wants us to know about Jesus. And it kind of highlights the rather significant features of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Hospitality, power, and today we hear about compassion. Now, the Greek word for compassion has its root in a word that means guts, the seat of feeling. I know we think our hearts are about feeling, but we all know that where you feel it is in your gut. In New Zealand, there's a wonderful phrase or word that is used. It is gutted. And when you say it and mean it, you feel it. So if you're happy, you don't usually use it that much. But if you're not feeling great about something, you can say, I was gutted. Can't you feel that? Gutted. And usually when a person feels that way, it is an invitation to do something about it. And they're asking a bit for some compassion, interestingly, because they aren't in a good space. When you say that you're, or feel that compassion, you can feel it physically. You can feel a pit suddenly, and it's very visceral. It's very physical. And Jesus had that today. He saw the people. He was tired. He wanted a break. And he saw them and had compassion for them. They were sheep without a shepherd. They were lost, lacking guidance, and even more so in need of care, protection, pasture, tending, nurture. But for Jesus, it's not just the feeling in his gut. He doesn't just feel it and go, yeah, I still need a break. I'm going away. He actually moves towards them and acts. And he shows his disciples that compassion is inherent to being a disciple. Compassion is actually a requirement to take that feeling and act on it. Now think about its origin, to have sympathy with, co-suffering and passion together, compassion. And so naturally, you can't really feel that just by yourself. You have to share it with someone else. It's like a bit of an adrenaline rush that says, get out there and care for those people. And it often doesn't go away unless you act on it. But lots of times, we remain complacent even when we feel it, because perhaps we are tired. Perhaps it's too risky. It's too much to ask of us. And perhaps we are afraid, because compassion calls out of us not only the ability to be with people in their pain, but to acknowledge that we need others to be with us when we are in pain. Now, Jesus knew that the crowds felt lost and abandoned, perhaps, and he knows how lost and lonely a person can feel. Imagine how he felt most of the time in his ministry and life, going on this path, probably not knowing what it really meant, like all of us, and yet called to such great things. And he probably needed from time to time compassion. Remember the story of Mary taking her hair and wiping his feet and anointing him with oil, the compassion that is in that scene. We need to think about, at times in our lives, when do we get that too? When do we need that? Because we often don't care for ourselves. We can give and give and give and give, and yes, we can be too compassionate. I know it's hard to think about, how could you be too compassionate, but it's true. Think of when you've given so much that you don't even feel like going out your front door. Think of when you're in a family situation and you're the one finally saying, does anyone else empty the dishwasher? That may seem silly, but it speaks to something a bit bigger. Why would anyone else empty the dishwasher if you always do it? Why would they? Why bother? It's going to happen anyway. Even if you say, empty the dishwasher, the other person's going to go, if I leave it, I know it's going to happen. They'll empty it for me. So being too compassionate sometimes takes over what others could be responsible for. And we need to watch that balance, because caring too much is not care at all. It can be actually taking away from another's experience. It can be taking away from an opportunity, for instance, of a young person to learn how to empty the dishwasher. I know, I had two teenage girls. I got it. And I had to restrain myself from doing it. And so we need to think about that in terms of others being too compassionate, and we need to think about ourselves taking in some compassion from others. And what better time than this time of year to actually think about balance? We know there's some balance because we have about half the normal people that we normally have in the summer. That means people are out doing things, which is great. And hopefully when we're out doing things that help feed us, feed our hearts and our souls and our minds, and in which we receive some compassion for others. But summer isn't just a time to have a great time. We also, it's an opportunity for us to reassess things. So what are our commitments? What is our vision? What are our priorities in our lives? What needs tending? What needs nurturing? Where am I lost? Because when we look at ourselves honestly, there's always that one little spot in our lives where we're probably lost. And so, who do you go to? Just yourself or someone else when you need that time, that compassion? I have two very good colleagues and friends, and there we now have, I realized last week, a code text, email, short message. And once it is spoken, the three of us know what it means. It came last week quite suddenly, out of the blue, I need wine. I know, that sounds ridiculous. I need wine. What it meant was, my friend was saying, we need to get together because I'm not in a great space. I need to sit with you. And some of you might think, oh, communion wine. It was not communion wine. However, it wasn't about the amount of wine. It wasn't about the wine. It was about this little phrase that all of a sudden myself and my other friend, the three of us who hang around together, went, oh, we need to find time. So despite family commitments, despite doing whatever we were doing last week, we found time because one of us signaled, I need some compassion. And you all know that at times we need that, and people, not just clergy, but everybody needs it. We all are drawn out of ourselves all the time. So yes, we drank a bit of wine. We said a number of things that no one should ever hear. We cried. We had a raucous time, and we gave each other a hug at the end and felt 1,000 times better. And of course, when it happened, each one of us realized that we all needed it. It wasn't just the one who put their hand up, sent the text message. It was all of us at that time and in that place. So we need to think about the balance. The balance personally, the balance in our community, and realize when we're too compassionate of all things. Because it signals imminent collapse. When we're ignoring our own needs all the time for everybody else, that's not compassion. That's avoidance. Imagine when you have, I remember whenever I had young children and they really always wanted me to do something with them, you know, kids. Like grandchildren, right, Grayson? They're like that. Yeah, come on, Grandma, let's go. Zip lining or something. And they're always pulling on you. And, you know, Grandma asked me, if she's not going to go, she's going to find someone to help you go ziplining, right? Yeah. So that's the thing. We get pulled, and it's good. It's good that we ask, and it's good that Grandma facilitates those things. But after a while, if Grandma really needs to go for a walk in the park by herself and doesn't do it, it doesn't feel the same. Because Grandma needs that time, or you need that time, or I need that time to just pause. To just pause. My girls always said, can we go to the mall? Well, one of them said that. Can we go to the mall? And the other one said, let's go rollerblading. Two exhausting options. I really didn't want to talk to either of them at the time. because I was a priest full-time at the cathedral, my husband was a priest full-time, two teenage daughters wanting to do everything all the time, and there was no time to do that. And finally I learned I had to get up early in the morning and sit and write or spend time drinking tea or pet the cat or whatever it was that I could actually make it through the day. So perhaps in our lives and changing lives at different times we need different things. Jesus understood that. The disciples came back from teaching and preaching and healing. Imagine how excited they were. Look what we've done, Jesus. We've gone and done all this stuff. We didn't believe we could do it. And you taught us we could, and we did. And they're all full of energy. And he says, great, let's go away for a while. That's what he says. He says, come away to a deserted place by yourself and rest a while. Doesn't say, that's great, go back out and do more. He says, come on, let's go. And of course, like our lives, they tried to escape, it didn't quite work. People followed them. In fact, they got there first and met them. And I can imagine the reason Jesus had compassion was he actually probably had compassion on the disciples too and said, go ahead and rest, I'll deal with the crowd. And he healed and he taught and he did what they needed. That is a moment of great compassion on his part towards the disciples. And for them to take that was a moment of great compassion on their part for themselves. So we need to think about compassion. It sounds easy, just go and care for people and proclaim that love. But remember that God sees you better than you see yourself and sheds tears for you. Lord Byron once said, the dew of compassion is a tear. The dew of compassion is a tear. Imagine how Jesus sees us in our tears of joy and our tears of sadness, our tears of exhaustion. When we're succeeding and when we're struggling, when we're strong and when we're weak, when we're sure and when we are lost. We all need compassion. And we all need to give compassion. But most of all, we need to find the balance. So let the one who traveled the countryside, healed, taught, listened, loved, the one who took a break from the crowds with those closest to him, let that one come to you. Let it happen this summer. Amen.